Oh, glory. Are you ready? We'll see. How many of y'all walking on ready? We need to be walking on ready right now. We're in a tremendous, tremendous shift. Tremendous. We got to be ready. We're walking on ready. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Walking on ready. Are you walking on ready? Do you ever walk on a thin piece of ice? You're going, ooh. You're real sensitive to it. In fact, you're paying real close attention, especially if that thin piece of ice is on a lake. And you're looking, yeah. In other words, you're walking on ready. Okay, once you start seeing it cracking, whoops, you start moving. See? It starts cracking in another place, you start moving. See, you're walking on ready. See, you're not only walking on ready, you're listening. You're listening for the cracks. You're looking at the cracks. Because, see, sometimes you can't see it because there's snow on it. For some of you who've never associated with snow, you might not be able to see the crack, but you can hear it. Then all of a sudden you can sense it and feel it. See, because you're walking on ready and you know you got to move. You got to shift real quick so you don't get wet. Because it's very cold when you get wet in a lake that's covered with ice. And it's not comfortable. In fact, the thing is it's hard to get out of it. Because when you begin to grab the sides, they begin to break. Or the ice is so slippery it's hard to get out. And when, especially when you have clothes on, the only thing that wants to happen is your body wants to sink. And it begins to go in shock. So during this period of time, you're out there and you're walking on ready. And that's where we have to be right now. Walking on ready. Is everybody with me? Turn to Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. That was a chilling intro, wasn't it? It was a chilling example. People are going, oh man, I'm freezing. Acts chapter 9. Everybody say, I'm walking.
I'm
ready.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Acts chapter 9. Is everybody there? And verse 1. Would you read it with me? Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him and from heaven. And he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? In other words, what Saul was saying now is, I'm ready. Does everybody get it? See, you don't ask somebody, what do you want me to do, unless you're ready to do something. So here Saul was. He says, okay. As he laid on the ground, shaking, trembling, he said, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? Does everybody got it? Now, so then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now, this is pretty wild, because here Saul has this encounter with the Lord, and he's trembling on the ground, and the Lord introduces himself. And Saul says, okay, what do you want me to do? I'm ready. And the Lord says, okay, you're going to go into this place and these individuals are going to lead you. But how many times do we say, Lord, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? Well, look what happened to Saul. He was blinded for 3 days. Oh, he was ready. Yeah, I'm ready now. What do you want me to do? Blind you. He had to be led, didn't he? Does everybody understand? He had to be led by the hand. Amen? See, you've got to come to a place where you say, what do you want me to do? And you got to be willing to do whatever it takes. So Saul said, okay, what do you want me to do? I'm ready. God said, okay, I'm going to blind you for a few days so that you can lose yourself. Go to verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, he said, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ooh. See, Saul thought he might have been ready, but he really wasn't, was he? So God, after he touched him, and Saul made the confession, what do you want me to do, Lord? I'm ready. Saul became blind for 3 days. And then the Lord spoke to Ananias, who was going to go lay hands on Saul so he could receive his sight. He said, listen, he's a chosen vessel of mine. Amen? But he's going to have to suffer a lot of things for my name's sake. Does everybody get it? See, the Bible says that it's difficult and narrow, isn't it? It's not wide and easy. And it's, you know, it's difficult. Your walk with the Lord is something that is going to be difficult because there's always going to be resistance. The enemy is always going to try to come against you because he knows that you want to do the right thing before God, don't you? Amen? Now listen, I want to talk to you three areas of ready. Walking on ready, there's three areas. The first one is get ready. See, when Saul said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord said, okay, get ready. So he was getting ready. What did he first do? Blinded him. What was he doing? He was preparing him, wasn't he? See, getting ready is preparation. This is where there's a learning process. Everybody with me? Then there's being ready. So you're to get ready, and you're going to be ready. That's an area where you're to be watchful. See, get ready means preparation. Be ready means watchful. This is an area where you are in wait. And then there's the area where you are ready, and this is where you are faithful and you stand. So there's get ready, be ready, and are ready. Oh, hallelujah. Are you all with me? Good. Malachi 3. So we have preparation and learning and being watchful and waiting and being faithful and standing. In Malachi chapter 3. Oh, glory. So we're walking on ready. Oh, glory. Malachi chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Hallelujah. Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I what? Send my messenger, and he will what? Prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So we see here that in this there is a preparation, right? So he was getting individuals ready. What was he doing? He was preparing. That's why John the Baptist came, didn't he? John the Baptist came and getting people ready for the Lord. Has everybody got that? He was getting everybody ready or prepared for the Lord. Getting ready. Go to Mark 13. Oh, hallelujah. How many of y'all know God's getting you ready for his return? Now, I want you to understand something, that in certain areas you may be ready, in certain areas you're getting ready, in certain areas, hallelujah, you thought you were ready. You're ready in certain areas. There are certain areas where you're solid, but those are the areas you got to be careful of, because where you think you're solid is where the enemy attacks, because he knows you don't have focus on that. Hello? That's why we have to be walking on ready in all things. Everybody say all things.
All things.
Amen. In Mark 13 and in verse 32. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed and what? Watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each of his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, or at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. That's be ready. Amen. Be ready. Watch means you must begin to put into practice what you have learned, because getting ready is the area of learning. Now, being ready is the area where you're putting into practice what you have learned, because God is going to test you in these things. Why? So that you are ready. Everybody got it? Good. And Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And verse 42. Would you read it with me? It says what? Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also what? Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not know. I want you to understand is where he's saying being ready. In other words, putting things into practice. Has everybody got it? Being ready. Be watchful in all things, because you're walking on ready right now. In Matthew 25. Is everybody there? Didn't have far to go, did you? Oh, glory. I like this one, man. Yeah. Let's start at verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 stupid. Foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, I understand they were wise. And they said, what? No. No. Lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Why? Because they were what? Ready. Has everybody got it? In other words, they were what? Faithful. See, if you're not faithful, you're not ready. And if you're not ready, you'll miss God. Does everybody get it? Because it says the door was shut, wasn't it? Now look what he says in verse 12. Or verse 11. Afterward, the virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Come on, give us another chance. And he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you. Why? Because they weren't ready. See, God gives us plenty of opportunity to get ready. That there's a time coming, and that's where we're at right now, where we've got to be walking on ready. That people are missing God. Because they're not ready. They're too caught up. Amen? I'm telling you, you got to get into the place of ready. Ready went out and didn't miss. They weren't moved, were they? They didn't get moved. Even when the other ones came and said, listen, we need to buy from you. Come on, give us some. They said, no. You know why? They were ready. They were standing. Nothing was going to move them. They weren't going to get sucked in the soulless realm. Oh, but what about me? Nope. I've got a call to do. And if I give to you, it's going to move me out of my call. You get it? See, you got to be ready. And this is where the enemy's coming in right now. See, the Spirit gives us things to come, doesn't he? Think about how many things you miss God. Because you weren't ready. You're too caught up in the soulless realm. What about me? See, if Jesus Christ is truly your Lord and Savior, then you don't have a life. You've given it to him. Then he begins. See, that's what happened with Saul, didn't he? Amen? See, when the Lord slammed Saul, he said, okay, what do you want me to do? He was ready, but he wasn't ready. Jesus said, okay, no problem. 3 days you go blind. Then I have Ananias come and lay hands on you. And then you're going to go through stuff. In fact, Paul really didn't start for almost 14 years. He preached a little bit here and there and whatever, but his fullness of his ministry wasn't almost for 14 years. Whew. See, because he was earning the trust of God. God was bringing him to the place of getting ready, being ready, and then he was ready. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. See, everybody wants to jump from, oh, yeah, I'm ready. They want to jump from nothing to ready. And then the enemy comes and slams them. Because they're really not ready because they haven't learned enough and they haven't been faithful enough. They haven't gone through enough trials and tribulations. And they bring shame to the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 12. Oh, hallelujah. Walking on ready. Luke 12. Start at 35. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Yeah. Yes, you the torch. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him when? Immediately. When? Immediately. Not when he knocks and says, yo, let me in. Not when you say, who is it? See, because you know. In the spirit, you know. He knocks, you say, yo! You're ready. Immediately. And no questions. See, people are going, when the Lord tells them, well, Lord, is that you? Now? Do you know what time it is? Well, you know, I really got things to do. See, they're not ready. Because self prevents you from getting ready. Does everybody get it? Self. The enemy uses self to prevent you from getting ready. See, there are some people who have been Christians for 30 years and they're still being ready. Some of them are still waiting. Hello? Some of them don't know anything about readiness. They're still playing religion. They're too caught up in the soulless realm where self is running their lives. See, they're still getting. That's what the Bible says, always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. See, they're still getting ready. They're still getting ready. They've been getting ready for the last 40 years and they're still not in that area yet. Always learning, 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 and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know why? Because reality is this. They haven't been walking on ready yet. They're still looking for everybody else to do it for them. They haven't been sold out. Totally sold out. See, they still have the pinky and maybe the one next to it with Jesus. And the other ones are still, they're on ready to run. See, they're on the wrong side of walking and ready. The only walking and ready they're ready to do is run when it becomes difficult. Run when their feelings are hurt. Run when the answer is no. Run. Hello. And they never make it to the area of be ready because they've never fulfilled getting ready. Oh, hallelujah. Are y'all all right? See, when you're in the area of ready, immediate. There's no thinking. You don't have time to think. No thinking. Immediate. The answer is yes, and that's it. Not how, when, where, whatever. You don't remember when he said to Abraham, look it. Just get out of here. I'm going to make you a father of nations. Abraham says, okay. He just got up and gone. He didn't even know where he was going yet. He didn't ask. He just said, go. Lord said, get out of here. All right, I'm out of here. That was it. And he became the father of nations. Isn't that wild? He came to the father of nations, didn't even know where he was going yet. But he was going. He immediately moved. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Revelation 19. Walking on ready. Now, don't be discouraged if you're not an immediate. You're working on it, right? See, first thing you got to do is have a desire to want to get ready. And that's where God tests you. He's going to put little things in front of you. Oh, well, I don't know about that. You ain't ready. You ain't even ready to get ready. Hey, you want some help? You want to do this? I don't know. See ya. See, the person's not even, doesn't even have the desire to get ready. Hallelujah. In Revelation 19, oh, yes, verse 7. Would you read it with me? Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. So, see, you must cooperate with God. God isn't just going to go, you're ready. You're not going to drink some instant ready. See, you must make yourself cooperate with God to get ready. It's not a drive-through. I'm telling you, it's not a, you can't drive up, spend $2.50. It's not drive-through communion. Hello? It's not drive-through deliverance, it's not drive-through healing, and it's not drive-through ready. You must cooperate with God. When He gives you the opportunity to get the training, you better take it or you'll miss it. And there's sometimes where what you've missed will never come back again. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Is everybody there? Let's read it. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Look at this. For the time will come when they will what? Not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now he says, be ready in season and out. Now this may sound strange, what I'm about to say. This means be ready when you're not ready. What do you mean be ready when you're not ready? Right. In other words, when you're not ready, you don't. People have a tendency to rely on their own readiness. When he says, be ready in season and out, it means you be ready even when you're not ready. How do you do that? You surrender it to the Lord. You roll it over quick. You don't rely on your own understanding. I mean, that's being ready? That's being ready when you're not ready. What? What's the first thing you got to do? Get yourself out of the way. But I've got things to finish. You better unscrew your head. Stick a rag in the mouth. And just do it. Just do it. Be ready when you're not ready. To surrender and die as a good soldier. It just doesn't make sense. Absolutely. That's when you're ready. When you're not ready. Does everybody get that? Good. Go to chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Oh, praise God. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So you must be a soldier. Everybody say, I am
a soldier
in the army of God.
Good.
Now, I found somebody emailed me something, so I made copies of it. Was it you, Ange? Okay. I made copies of this. And we're going to all make this confession tonight, okay? Because you are in the army. You are a soldier in the army of God. Confession brings possession, right? So we're just going to say this together. We're going to speak this out right from the beginning. Because we want to be walking on ready. Does everybody have a sheet? You never know what God's going to do here on a Tuesday night, let me tell you. I am a soldier in the army of God. Okay, grab hold. You going to make a pledge? Lift your right hand and put your other hand on the Bible and make this pledge. Come on, confession brings possession. You ready? Let's read it together. I am a soldier in the army of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If God needs me, I'm there. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, pepped, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. I do not need a whip. I am I am in a place saluting my king, obeying his order, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has sent me flowers, gifts, foods, cards, or candy. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into his army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still come out ahead. I will win. My God has and will continue to supply all of my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I will do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me. For when my commander calls me from his battlefield, he will promote me to captain and then will allow me to rule with him. I am a soldier in the army and am claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Hallelujah! There's a new set of daily confessions. Turn to 2 Corinthians 10. No wimps. I love it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Angela, for emailing that to me. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Is everybody there? In verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And what? Being ready to punish. Everyone say, I'm being ready to punish. All disobedient when my obedience is fulfilled. Oh, see, you got to be ready to punish. Punish what? Those thoughts. Those thoughts that come against the knowledge of God. Those thoughts that come against the will of God. It's your responsibility to cast those down. Those are your weapons. Because the fight is in the mind. Does everybody get it? Oh, that's why you must be ready. Too many people make covenant with those thoughts. And they make covenant with the voice of the stranger. It gets them out of position. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. That's how God tests us too. 1 Peter 3. We must be ready to punish. Verse 13. Good confession. Saddle up your horses. Yeah. We're going to war. Not only are we in the war, we're going to war anyways. If there isn't one, we'll pick one. If there's not a war, we'll start one. We're going to the enemy's camp and we're going to light fires. Holy Ghost arsonists. They talk about terrorists. We'll show them what a real terrorist is like. We're terrorists against darkness. We'd be bringing the light. Did you ever turn on a light in an abandoned building? Boy, those cockroaches get terrorized. Whoa, they're screwing it everywhere. Oh. And then you're running around trying to crush everyone. Yes. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I was walking in the store looking for something, and I just was standing, and there was a woman that was working there. And she was doing inventory or something, and somebody called her on the intercom, and she said she cussed and used the Lord's name in vain. And I was behind her, and she mumbled out, Isn't there anybody else here that can help? And she realized I was behind her, and she said, hi. And I said, hi. And she said, how are you? I said, I'm blessed and highly favored. And she said, I'm blessed too. I said, oh, well, then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. She said, yes, and she was gone out of that aisle. She wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. Nah. And she was in the toy department, you know? I mean, what a blessing. But she wasn't ready. So her conduct was not only not right before God, but she got convicted. I mean, I just thought it was wild and how the Lord just had me standing there looking for something, and she says, cusses the Lord's name, and I thought, And I just waited for her to look at me. How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. That's good. And she tried to tell me she was a Christian, but she knew she just blew it. I don't know what aisle she ended up after that. Hopefully the towels and stuff, you know. Hallelujah. Where she could repent and weep a little bit. So we must be ready to punish and we must be ready to defend. Amen. We must be ready. You're walking on ready. Go to Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24, 36. Would you read it with me? But of the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Does everybody see that? So we've got to be ready. And let me tell you, look at how it's getting right now. I was watching the news tonight, and the Olympics are going to be in China. Now, I want to share something with you. Nobody even the Americans who are going to go there and participate cannot bring a Bible. They have outlawed the Bible. They said that nobody can bring a Bible with them. So there was on the news there was a group trying to say, let's boycott. We believe that the United States should boycott China and not even go because of this country is founded on Christianity. But see, they don't want any Bibles to come with anyone into their country. Is that wild? I mean, this has never been done before. This is supposed to be international. Now, they did not say that no one else could bring the Quran. Can come. Only the Bible can't. Hallelujah. We are in the last minutes. It's close. So they can have Quranville, but they can't have the truth. I was watching that on the news tonight. It was powerful. I'm thinking, whoa, we are close. I know my dad ain't happy with that. And he's, let me tell you something. This country's being tested right now where it's at. This country's being tested right now on where they're at. As the days of Noah, we're there. Marrying, fornication, and, people carrying a Bible and saying, yes, I'll marry you. Homosexuality and so forth, they're marrying one another. You really think about it in that area of how can offsprings be produced by two of the same sex? It just doesn't make sense. How could that be considered marriage? I mean, it just doesn't work. But there are those who are standing behind pulpits and promoting it. There are those who have been wealthy, well-known evangelists, TV and so forth, who have fallen in that area and now have gone to that side and promoting it in their own doctrines. I'm telling you, we are very close. Things are going to come to the surface more and more and more. But you've got to be walking on ready. You've got to be. We are that close. Amen? Go to Luke 21 and verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and the day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Wow. So we've got to be ready for the unexpected. The Bible talks about things coming suddenly. Amen. Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Would you read it with me in verse 8? Be what? Sober. In other words, be ready. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he what? May devour or deceive. We must be walking on ready. I'm going to use a few examples. Go to 2 Kings and chapter 3. Elijah is talking to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And they need some water. Their soldiers need some water badly. And so Elijah says, bring me a instrument, and he begins to play. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. Verse 15, but now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Now, here's these guys out there. I mean, they're thirsty and they need some water, right? Okay. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that your cattle and your animals may drink. Now, is that wild? And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. So now, if they were not ready, they could have just, wait a minute, man, we're not going to see wind, we're not going to see rain, and you want us to go out and dig ditches? But they did it. And you know what happened? Every one of those ditches filled up with water. You know why? Because they were ready. Didn't make sense to them, did it? Go to chapter 4. We got more. And we'll start at verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons and his slaves. So Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Oh, this is where God can take nothing and turn it into something. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everyone. From all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Now, she could have said, wait a minute. You want me to go borrow vessels when I only have this little bit in here? What are you going to do? Drill? She didn't ask anything, did she? See, there's going to be a time when you've got to move suddenly, immediately, no questions. Just do it. Amen? See, so if there was no water, the army wouldn't, and the cattle wouldn't have been able to. If they didn't do the ditches, there wouldn't be no water, right? If there was no vessels, there wouldn't be any oil. So they had to obey, didn't they? Amen? Hallelujah. I want to go to chapter 5 while we're here. Here's another one. Now, hallelujah. There was a gentleman, Nahum was a commander of the army of the king of Syria, verse 1, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. So he was a leper. Now he went to go see Elijah, and Elijah wouldn't see him. So Elijah sent out his servant to see him because he wanted to get healed of leprosy. Of course, he grumbled and complained because his servant said, go dip in the water 7 times in a Jordan, the filthy Jordan 7 times. The cold, filthy Jordan 7 times. And he grumbled and complained, and his servant convinced him to go in there. So he went in there, dipped 7 times, and God healed him. Now, he could have just got up on his horse and left. But you know what he did? He listened to his servant, didn't he? See, so if he didn't dip seven times, he wouldn't have got healed, would he? Amen? I go to Isaiah 40. In verse 3, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. Now let me share something with you. If there was no preparation for the Lord, the Messiah wouldn't have come. Does everybody understand this? God knew exactly. He had to prepare everything, didn't he? But if there was no cooperation, would he have come? You know, I believe right now that the only reason why the Messiah has not come is because his people are not prepared. Too many would be lost. Too many of his children would be lost if he came right now. Because there's still people in fornication. There's still people hooked by drugs. There's still people stealing and lying, claiming to be believers. They think they're right before God because they call living together common law. Well, it ain't common according to the eyes of my dad. They're still dabbing. They're still doing wrong things. They're still lying and cheating. And cheating the government. Some people won't get healed because they like their disability. What will I do? Get a job. How about that? Hallelujah. Does everybody understand that? Oh, praise God. Listen, if you don't plant seed, there's no harvest. Right? You got to plant seed to get a harvest. Walking on ready. I'm going to share a couple other things. If you don't repent, what happens? You don't go home. Listen, you remember when Jesus told, who was it, Martha? Anybody remember? To move the stone? Yeah, Lazarus. Hey, if nobody moved the stone, who's going to let him out? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go to Revelation 12. They had to be ready, didn't they? Look what happened to Judas. He wasn't ready. The only thing he was ready for, he wanted to buy that hotel down the street. He thought he could maybe use one room to feed the poor and the rest he could collect the money on. Yeah. Judas was an entrepreneur. Or was it entrepreneur? Oh, hallelujah. I know a few entrepreneurs, believe me. Revelation 12. Pretty okay. Hallelujah. Would you read verse 11? And they overcame him, who? The devil. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. You got to have a testimony, man. You're not going to get a testimony by not doing nothing. You got to have a testimony. Well, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Good. Now get a testimony. Hello? Why? Because God is always working something in somebody's life, aren't they? If they have a desire to get ready, you must have your own revelation. That's what brings you to that testimony, that you know that there is a living God who cares for you and loves you. You've got to have a testimony. You can go around telling all kinds of people what God has done, but until it happens to them, then they get the testimony. But see, it all takes positioning to get one. Hello? You can't go to a place where people don't believe healing and expect to be healed. You're not going to go into a place except to get baptized in the Holy Ghost where nobody speaks in tongues. Does everybody understand that? So God positions you. By that, you've got to be willing to do whatever it takes to go get what He's got for you. That means you must be ready. Oh, hallelujah. You must be ready to advance. You must be ready for disappointments. You must be ready to gain. You must be ready to lose. You must be ready to change. You must be ready to challenge. And you must be ready to be challenged. You must be ready for favor. You must be ready for joy. And you must be ready for sadness. You must be ready to give, and you must be ready to receive. You must be ready to share, and you must be ready to take back. You must be ready to wait, to rest, to forgive, to repent, to suffer, to teach, to cast out a devil, to lay hands on the sick. You must be ready to correct and be corrected. You must be ready to trust, to seek, to watch, to pray, to worship. Am I going too fast? Get the tape. Just get ready. You must be ready to worship, to serve, to study, to follow, to speak, to listen, to let go, to surrender, to fight, and to be quiet. You must be ready to sleep, awake, yield, and shift. And you must be ready to die. Walking on ready. This is where we're at right now. We are walking on ready. You must have a desire to be ready. Remember, get ready is preparation, being ready is watchful, and ready is being faithful. That's your choice. Ready is associated with cooperation. It's time to get ready for what is coming. You must be ready. And you will be tested. You will be tried, you will be challenged, and you must be ready to overcome temptation. And when you're not ready, you got to be ready. What do you mean? You got to be ready to surrender when you're not ready. Sometimes you got to be ready to regroup. It doesn't mean that you're retreating, it means you're regrouping. Better to regroup than to lose. Amen? Because if you're not in a battle, you become a casualty. You must be ready. Want to be ready. Get ready. And stand ready. This is where, this is between you and God. That's why we're here. That's why we're learning. We're getting ready. There's that preparation. It's not a soulish. It's not a flesh thing. It's a spirit thing. You've got to judge yourself whether you have a desire to get ready, whether you are getting ready, being ready, or whether you're ready. And again, there will be areas where you're ready and still areas where you're getting ready. Amen? But see, we want to bring it all together. All together. So we can be ready for whatever He wants, when He wants it, with no delays. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask that You'll keep us in that area of walking on ready. That we will be able to discern, move quickly, with no hesitation. And Lord, wherever we lack, get us ready. Help us to be prepared, to be watchful, and to be faithful, that Your name would be glorified in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.